Welcome to an episode of Tech San Diego Spotlight. I'm your host, Christy Kiyogi, University Talent Director of Tech San Diego, and we are talking about something really important today, especially for your graduating seniors, the benefits of benefit. Now picture this. You're a recent graduate about to start your first job out of college. You had an internship at a local tech company, or maybe you started at an entry-level position and you're being promoted to full-time after graduation. Now, someone from HR comes in and shows you some folders, tells you about benefits, but this is the tech industry and you're just stoked your yearly paycheck is close to six figures and you don't really hear what the HR person says about the health benefits because you're still on your parents' plan. It can be really overwhelming going from the university environment to a corporate setting. There are a lot of decisions that affect your life that you may not have ever had to make before. Maybe you have student loans you're paying off. Don't panic. In this virtual studio today, we have two guys who are here to help. First, welcome Tyler Anthony, client executive at Marsh McLennan. Marsh McLennan Agency provides business insurance, employee health and benefits, retirement, and private client insurance solutions to organizations and individuals. Say hi, Tyler.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Christy, for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And also, too, we're going to welcome Jared Redfield, a financial consultant with Tidemark Financial Partners. Jared specializes in holistic financial planning and wealth management for individuals in the tech sector. He's also a native San Diegan. So say hi to everyone, Jared.
Hey, everybody. Stoked to be here with the both of you. And of course, thank you guys for having me.
Yes. And as I'm looking outside, we have sunny San Diego back in the sky. So bye, June gloom. And now we're excited for June bloom. All right. So I brought you guys together to open this discussion so that our student audience gets the best information on what to do financially post-graduation, how to maximize their benefits and potentially negotiate a compensation package that works for them. So let's get into it. What is the total compensation package? What can new grads expect in the compensation package? And what are typical perks in a tech company? So we'll start off with you, Jared, and let us know what you think about the compensation package.
Yeah, you know, compensation packages is definitely one of those things where most of us come out and think, oh, salary. That's the number one thing. But there is so much more that goes into it, and especially here in the tech field. So one of the areas that I specialize in and really one of the most prominent reasons why they call it a compensation package is because there's things like stock options. There's things like incentives that come along with not only the salary, but additional ways to earn money through that company. Also on the retirement side, you have retirement plan vehicles such as 401k plans. So those are other parts of your compensation package where it may be somewhat indirect, may not be that true coming directly to your pocket, but another really valuable area to continue boosting your financial picture outside of just what you see on your W-2 or that salary offer.
Yeah, students, you know, may not know about all those incentives and additional ways because, you know, they're coming out from college and they just think about that paycheck. So I appreciate you giving us some insight on what else to expect from the company. How about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I think similar to what Jared said, echoing what he said, I think almost even more overlooked is the benefits component of how rich the benefits are with certain companies, inclusive of medical, dental, vision, life insurance. That can be a huge component of your total compensation, especially if the employers choose to contribute a large portion towards your health insurance. If there are some tech companies are very rich in their offering and are paying 90, 95, sometimes even 100%, of your health insurance. So I think the benefits package is often overlooked as a total compensation, but it's a huge component of part of your offering.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad we're bringing this discussion, you know, to our graduating seniors. They just don't understand, you know, the value of benefits and how much, you know, that impacts their own livelihood and their meaning and satisfaction in the company. So, you know, what are some typical perks, though, in a tech company that students should be thinking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, tech companies on average just generally have, you know, sometimes richer perks or richer benefits than some other industries tend to have. But each tech company is also very different in terms of perks. So I think just to go over maybe a few examples of some perks that I've seen with some of the tech companies I've worked with is, you know, company branded apparel, casual attire when you're working, you know, flexible hours or remote working capabilities, you know, company paid lunches or breakfasts or snacks, sometimes unlimited PTO policies or paid time off policies. And then speaking from a benefits perspective, I think some companies choose to offer perks through offering, you know, sometimes pet insurance or wellness programs like step campaigns, counting your daily steps and kind of competing with your coworkers for different wellness programs, or mental health resources, having some sort of counseling or enhanced EAP offering, which we can get into later. But yeah, there's a lot of perks I think that companies can choose to offer, but those are some to name a few.
Mitel, did you say free meals?
Sometimes.
Because sometimes. I know our college students are so used to free pizza. So let's see what, how about you, Jared? What's some thoughts on some typical perks?
Yeah, I think Tyler touched on a really great aspect of it, which kind of just includes the community feeling that a lot of these tech companies start to bring between the mental wellness, the financial wellness, and obviously, hey, some of those freebies are also very nice to have there in as well. But, you know, I think one of the most extraordinary parts of working in tech is how forward looking they are about caring about your future. Everyone kind of talks about a 401k company match. So what that means is essentially any money that you save towards your retirement, the company's actually going to save a portion of that along the way with you. They're funding your retirement account. But in the tech field, we are seeing an exorbitant amount of above and beyond what they do, because they really do put an emphasis and care about the individuals that are working with that company. So, you know, I think Tyler did a really good job of really kind of the surrounding benefits of the community aspect, some of the things of the day to day. You know, I think the retirement benefit there is tremendous. And then also it gives you some incentive to participate and be a little bit more forward looking with the company. You know, those stock options where they're awarding you based on performance or based on kind of the breakpoints or checkpoints you make, you know, it's a very significant way to be able to continue build your financial picture in terms of that monetary value too.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that, especially for students, because those benefits are not just for the future, but also for the present. You mentioned mental wellness, going to the gym, taking care of your pet, but also projecting some things towards the future to help them with retirement and savings, things like that, which students should start already as part of their financial wellness. Well, so, you know, talking about these different types of benefits, and I just talked about financial wellness, could you talk a little bit more about that, Jared, about what that, you know, the details about retirement and 401k and equity stock options? I mean, you know, today we're kind of a big picture for our students, but at least give them an idea of what they're should be expecting to hear when it comes to those financial wellness and options.
Absolutely. So, you know, of course, when we talk about these retirement plans, you hear all this IRS and financial language that is alphabet soup, all these random numbers assorted together. It can be plenty confusing. So, you know, I kind of like to take this very basic approach, because why make something that's very helpful, complex, and hard to understand?
Yeah.
So I really start with the 401k, because this is probably something that's been heard about, of course. You know, I remember, you know, coming into the workforce when I was younger, being like, oh my gosh, you know, what are these letters and numbers mean?
Right.
But essentially what this is this a vehicle for retirement savings that you as the employee can contribute to while you're working there. So of course there is that long-term aspect of, okay, retirement, we have a long ways to go until there, hopefully not. But also there is that benefit that you mentioned today. You know, one of which is this is actually a really great vehicle to get some tax deductions from based on certain contributions. So, you know, as you mentioned, having that six-figure salary when you come out of out of college is phenomenal, but also that does come along usually with a tax bill that's there as well. So, you know, I think that's one that's a little bit underlooked. And I'll use this as a little bit of a transition where everyone has pretty much heard about Social Security. Social Security was really designed as a supplement, not to really be the main part of your retirement income. So this is a really great program, really great investment and retirement vehicle that allows you to put your retirement more in your own hands, taking control of the financial freedom you want down the road. So that's a little bit more of the retirement driven aspect in regards to your contributions, what you're doing as the employee. But I think this also translates into something that's much more tech specific, which is the stock option component. So they really come in two separate flavors, one of which is a little bit more of the one that's awarded to you. And then there's also another one where you already are doing 401k contributions, but you also can contribute to purchase more of your company stock which is great, but also you can do it at a discount. So, you know, one of which is a little bit more performance driven, a little bit more about how things have been going in your lane where they get awarded to you. Obviously, you can build some rapid wealth. You know, when you think about companies like Microsoft, Apple, Google, which companies have done very well from an investment standpoint, you know, that's really building the monetary value in your own pocket. Conversely, if you want to go above and beyond, there's something called the employee stock purchase plan, which depending on the company, you can get anywhere from 5 to 15% of a discount from the market value of that stock on any given day. So those are really some awesome components that you don't see outside of the tech field for the most part. So, you know, blending between the retirement aspects, some of the tax advantages that are there, plus really being able to build your wealth not only from your salary standpoint, but from the company stock standpoint, is a really great one-two punch.
Wow, that's amazing to know, because, you know, having our students be aware and be knowledgeable, right, of these components will help them make some better decisions about the type of position they want to hold or the companies they want to look into. So that's really key information to have. And, you know, besides financial wellness, we also have to think about our physical wellness. You know, I need to get some glasses, or my tooth hurts, or my back hurts because I've been sitting all day. And so there's, you know, health insurance. And so, Tyler, can you talk a little bit about what that means in terms of medical, dental, vision, all those insurance components?
Yeah, definitely. I know, you know, there's a lot of benefits that a company can offer, and it can be really overwhelming. So I'll start with the root of what insurance actually is. So insurance at its root is called an indemnification of risk. What that means is essentially you're shifting off some of the risk of you onto an insurance carrier. So in the event that you have to seek care, you'll be paying a portion of the cost, and your insurance carrier will be paying the other portion of the cost. There's a lot of different types of benefits insurance that you could have access to through your employer, some including medical, dental, vision, life, and disability. I think those are the most common ones that we see. So starting with medical insurance, if you choose to enroll in medical insurance, a portion of each one of your paychecks are going to be going towards each month paying for your medical insurance. So medical insurance is advantageous because in the event that you seek care or have a medical emergency, you're going to be paying a fraction of the cost. So let's take an example, for example. Obviously, hoping this doesn't happen to anybody, but in the event that there is an emergency and you need to call an ambulance and you get taken an ambulance to a hospital, you get admitted to the hospital, they have to do a procedure on you, you're there for a couple of days, and then you get discharged. You could receive a bill in the mail for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, wow. $50,000, sometimes even $60,000.
Wow.
I don't know about you guys, but I definitely cannot afford to have a bill like that. So in that instance, that's where medical insurance really comes into play. And medical insurance has something called an out-of-pocket maximum. So on a given calendar year, the most you'd ever pay is the out-of-pocket max. Sometimes for insurance plans, again, that varies very widely based off the company, but it could be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 rather than $50,000 paycheck. So that's the advantage of medical insurance. Moving on to dental insurance, works very similarly, but it's really specific to dental care or orthodontia. So dental insurance actually includes two free dental cleanings per year. So dental cleanings are considered preventative care. So the insurance carriers really want to offer this for free. So you can keep that clean teeth, and they hope that you don't consistently seek more dental care. So they want to keep your teeth clean. Moving briefly on to vision insurance, this is also very similar to how medical and dental operates, except it's for your eye care or buying prescription glasses. And so there's different frequencies and copays that are associated with all those services. Life insurance, this is the only benefit that you technically don't directly benefit from. So how life insurance works is in the event of your passing, you have a designated beneficiary. It could be anyone. It could be your sister, your parent, your kid, your grandparent. It could even be your dog if you want it to be, which I have seen before. The designated beneficiary is going to receive a specified amount for how much the life insurance policy is for. Lastly, disability insurance. So there's short-term and long-term disability insurance. This is a benefit that you can utilize in the event that you become disabled or you're unable to work, and it allows you to still collect a percentage of your paycheck while you're out of work.
Wow, this is so awesome to know for our students, just to know about the overall from tip to toe, right? To take care of themselves once they leave college. And, you know, once they're in college, you know, they're so used to, you know, having these spring breaks and having these long, you know, summer breaks. And that's why I want to transition to paid time off. Now, what does that mean? There's vacation and holidays and personal time off, PTOs. Tell us a little about that, Tyler, about what that means for PTO.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, every company is very different in how much they choose to offer. So companies choose to offer a different amount of paid time off or vacation on a given calendar year. And some companies, as I mentioned before, even choose to offer unlimited paid time off. Now I'm going to stop you right there. There's not a loophole where you can take the whole year off and collect your full year salary. You still have to get management approval to take time off, but you do have that unlimited PTO where you can take the time whenever necessary. But typically how it works if a company doesn't have that unlimited PTO is you accrue paid time off or vacation time the longer you're there. There's also sick time or holiday time and personal time off, which you get a few days a year as well. So there's a few different buckets that you can pull into and use when necessary in the event that you're sick, or maybe you want to go on vacation with your family, and you can pull those and still get paid essentially to be on vacation or to be sick.
Wow. Get paid while on vacation. That's amazing. Anything to add to that, Jared?
No, I think one of the biggest points is, you know, kind of going back to that first area we discussed is, yeah, a lot of people think that compensation package is really just salary. But really what Tyler's been explaining are these are ways to not have money going out the door, you know, retaining more money from reducing expenses for, yeah, pretty expensive areas of anyone's life where we're talking about dental, vision, orthodontists. You know, those are really expensive things that if you were to do alone or independently, it's hard to source and also hard to pay for.
Mm-hmm. And so another piece of benefits is some employer support of, you know, like discounts, right? Some product discounts. I know I've enjoyed, you know, some discounted tickets going to the amusement parks. So tell us about some of those perks.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest one that comes to mind is the professional development part, you know, tuition reimbursement, you know, kind of in that same vein of very expensive things that are there. So taking advantage of those, one, again, not only allows you to retain more of what you're earning, but also propels you into situations where you're going to have a higher ceiling for what you earn or higher ceiling for growth within whatever company you're with. So that's always something when we're sitting down. Yeah, of course, we can talk a lot about the investment aspect, the retirement aspect, but where do you see yourself going with this company or in your career? How can you take advantage of some of those programs to continue bettering yourself in a way that is going to benefit you, the company, and those around you as well?
It's awesome to know that because, you know, once you finish college, you're just not done with your college degree. Your company can actually help you advance and get promoted, go to these conferences, back to school for some extra classes through extended studies. So it's really great to hear that type of professional and career trajectory with the company that you're in. All right. I talked a little bit about some graduating seniors still being on their parents' plan.
So you do have the option when you are graduating college, you're under 26, there is legislation in which you can still remain as a dependent on your parents' health insurance until you are 26 years old, the day of your birthday. Mm-hmm. Not oftentimes, I should say that many times we do see individuals or students graduating colleges in which their parents are being they're helping you out a lot and you're able to really stay on their PEP plan and you won't necessarily have to deduct those health insurance premiums out of your current paycheck, because that can be painful at times as you see this large salary. But if you're paying for benefits on your own, that will obviously reduce your take-home pay. But if you can remain on your parents' plan and your parents allow you to do so, you can do so up until you're 26 years old.
Any additional thoughts on that, Jared?
Yeah, I think what he mentioned of seeing that deduction out of the paycheck can kind of have the eyes widen just a bit. But you know, it gives you at least some time to become more familiar with whatever your company is providing. It's really stepping into a new world. And gosh, I mean, you've been probably going to the same provider for a long time, getting familiar with the system. And a lot of the times you're not going to be able to have that, oh, great, I'm already with the same people I'm used to. So, you know, it gives you some time to be able to ask the benefits team, ask your coworkers about, hey, what are those different levels? Yeah. What are those different things that you're taking advantage of? So you get a little bit more familiar for, you know, those who are fortunate enough to stay on their parents' plan until 26, So it's a much easier transition to the point where, yeah, you know, hey, happy birthday, but now you're walking into a whole lot more stuff you have to take care of.
There you go. Good insight to have. Or maybe you're moving back into your parents' garage or your old room. So, all right. So we talked a little bit about all these, you know, pieces of conversation package and different types of benefits. But now I want our students, our graduating seniors, to know, how do they go about making these decisions happen during the interview process? You know, being able to interview the interviewer about what's best for them. So, you know, if you can share, what are two or three questions that you recommend new grads ask during the interview process in regards to those benefits and making some really informed decisions about that?
Yeah, I think you kind of stole a little bit of the thunder of interview, mm-hmm, interviewer. Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned that, because I mm-hmm think it's something that's very lost when you're in the shoes of the, mm-hmm, the person interviewing of, oh man, you know, I want to make sure I'm getting all these answers to this person. But what are those pinpoint questions that, you know, show that I'm a little bit above and beyond the rest of the field that may be interviewed alongside me? Mm-hmm. So I really look a little bit more in towards the timing of what you're to expect. Because with pretty much every single benefit that we've covered today, more from the retirement side, as well as from the health and insurance side, timing is a huge factor when it comes into play. You know, when do you actually get to access these benefits? When do you need mm-hmm to know when to enroll? You know, those are some of those pinpoint questions that make you feel a little bit more familiar, make you feel a little bit more educated on, now I know what's available. When do I actually get to start using that, or when it starts coming into play for me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to come into those interviewing processes prepared and ready. How about you, Tyler? Do you have some questions that they should be asking?
Yeah, I think I've got a couple. I think first off, you know, just asking your employer or the employer that you're interviewing to share a snapshot of their current benefits mm-hmm program. So typically this is encapsulated in something called the benefit guide that they're usually able to share with you. This will allow you to see kind of how rich their benefits are and get an idea of your total comp more. How rich are their benefits? How much are they contributing towards their benefits? Do they have a full benefit suite of medical, dental, vision, life, disability, sometimes pet insurance? You can really get mm-hmm a good idea of how rich their benefits are based off of their benefit guide. So I think that would be the first question I would ask. Second question, I think maybe plays more into perks of a company, but it's asking how the employer would describe their company culture. I think company culture can be a huge perk to a company. You know, if they have an uplifting, motivating, supportive, fun culture, it can make work a lot more enjoyable. And let's be honest, that's where we spend most of our time on a given day now. And so you want to be in an environment that's enjoyable and that's supportive, and you have people around you that you like working with. So I think that would be my next big question to ask is asking them to describe what their company culture looks like.
Yeah, that's really important because, as you shared, you know, we may see these coworkers more than we see our family and friends and our pets.
Yep.
So then be able to ask some really thoughtful questions about, you know, their teamwork, what they do for fun, what happens after, you know, work hours, what are you having free meals during lunch, things like that to help with assess that cultural fit as well. All right, we're getting down to, you know, closing of our time together. So what are one or two pieces of advice you can give a new grad in best preparing to negotiate that compensation package? So let's ask you, Jared, what do you think?
I think this is kind of weird coming from the numbers guy here, but, you know, it's not always about the job offer with the highest numbers. You know, something that Tyler pointed out in terms of the culture, in terms of, you know, the growth you see yourself having in the company, and then also from when you review that benefits guide, that can make the offer look incredibly more competitive than you may have seen from just the sticker or the window sticker of what that job may entail. So those are some things that, you know, for me myself, that was my situation. I took a lower paying opportunity when I first started, but I loved the office that I was a part of. Mm. All of my partners were incredibly supportive and helped nurture me along the way. So, you know, that's really where it is somewhat of a balance. You know, there's always those stories, or the horror stories, I should say, of someone who saw, oh, the high paying job they get in and they absolutely hate it. So, you know, I think that's where taking the time to see the opportunity cost of what you're getting into today, where that future potential is with this company, and how the support is developed around you as the employee is going to give you a lot more ammunition to make a much more educated decision, yeah. because take the time to do it properly the mm-hmm. first time versus having to go through this process repeatedly, which is going to delay you in your career, going to delay you from making significant progress, which, you know, taking that time could really help you to do when you have something like this to really evaluate in terms of the benefits, the salary, total comp package. And again, focus on that culture, focus on that community yes. and the perks that come from that.
Yeah, very valuable to do that extra time to do the research and also knowing yourself, right? And what your values are and what you find meaningful and satisfying in a work company setting.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's where, you know, I think looking for somewhere that values your input, you know, of course, you may be the young person coming out of college, the graduate, but that shouldn't be a situation where your higher ups or someone in a more senior position, you know, dismisses that just because you're newer or inexperienced in air quotes. But, you know, that's where everyone has good ideas. There's no mm-hmm. such age on good advice. So that's where kind of in that interview process, like we talked about, asking the interviewer the questions, go yeah. somewhere where those people are open to your feedback, open to your input.
Most definitely, especially, I mean, our new graduates are coming in with these world-class universities. They're coming in with new ideas, forward-thinking solutions, being educated by professors from around the world that are doing the work and research in the industry. So we definitely got to tell our graduates to use those assets and those capitals. All right, how about you, Tyler? What's a piece of advice you'd like to give to our graduating seniors?
Yeah, I think similar to what, you know, Jared mentioned in terms of evaluating really what the offer actually looks like. I think there's a much larger component than looking at the salary, kind of as Jared spoke about. So in addition to looking at the location of where are you going, is that San Diego, is that somewhere else? And it just, you know, looking at an overarching approach rather than being really specific as to just the salary.
All right. Well, you mentioned something about either staying San Diego or not, but we're going to advocate for staying here in technology's perfect climate in San Diego. So what are two benefits why our graduating seniors should select San Diego as their career destination? All right, Jared, you're a native San Diegan. Why don't you let us know your insight?
Yeah, I think we're kind of at the precipice of the ultimate trickle-down effect here in San Diego. I mean, obviously, when we think of the tech sector, we think of Seattle, we think of Silicon Valley. And of course, those are really kind of the birth spots of really the tech sector and blossoming there. But, you know, this is really where so many of those people are starting to make their way down here to Southern California and San Diego in specific. I mean, you look at the plans for some of these major companies to be developing yeah. campuses here. You know, yes. it's going to be the next hub. We have biotech
exactly.
here. And yeah, they got real creative of just saying, oh, we'll just chop the first half, those first three letters of biotech, and let's make this a new tech hub. So, you know, one, of course, I think as you started the podcast of, hey, we finally are out of the June gloom. We have this beautiful but outside of just the company community, I mean, it's a beautiful yeah. place to professionally yeah. network, beautiful place to yes. start your career in and extend your career as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're a small enough community that you can actually network really strongly. And we have such a close-knit tech community here. It's amazing about the number of connections you can make easily and even readily. So that's awesome. How about you, Tyler? What's some San Diego things
yeah.
why you should stay?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the better question is, what aren't the benefits of seeking a career in San Diego, to be honest? I'm born and raised in San Diego, too. I went other places temporarily, but I always knew I wanted to come back to San Diego, and there's a lot of reasons that play into that. One, I just love San Diego in general. I love the beach. I love the fact that we are a close-knit community, and I do have yes. You know, friends here from high school and after. But companies are getting really competitive.
Yeah.
Speaking again from a benefits perspective, they want to attract the best talent. They want to retain the yeah. best talent. And so because of that, companies here are getting really competitive salaries. They're getting really competitive benefit offerings. And because of that, it's really, you know, garnered a really good place for a good work culture, as well as creating a great career for yourself.
Yes, awesome. All three of us are San Diego natives. And so whether you're in the 619 or the 858 or the 760, come on and have our area code. All right. So, Oh, yeah, 8x8. All right, I see
these,
you.
These opinions are not biased at all, I promise. Right?
Hey, we're all rooting for the Padres, okay? So, all right, so that concludes our Tech San Diego Spotlight. I'm so excited to have interviewed you both, Jared and Tyler, for sharing amazing intel, amazing insight for our graduating seniors. We're excited that this is a podcast, but I think we'll be having some in-person workshops regarding this topic once campuses start. So with that, thank you so much, Jared and Tyler, for sharing your time, your talent, and most importantly, your care for our next generation of tech talent. I'm Christy Kiyogi with Tech San Diego, and we're excited to, you know, bring this out to our student community and have you part of their success. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Christy.
This episode of TSD Spotlight was hosted by Christy Kiyogi, Talent Director for Tech San Diego's Jacobs Talent Initiative. Many thanks to Tyler Anthony, Client Executive at Marsh & McLennan, and Jared Redfield from Tidemark Financial Partners for taking time to chat about benefits. Marsh & McLennan is the world's leading professional services firm in the areas of risk, strategy, and people. Tidemark Financial Partners is an independent wealth management and comprehensive financial planning services firm. Jared Redfield is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA-SIPC. Content in this material is for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Visit www.tidemarkfp.com for more information. To learn more about Marsh & McLennan Agency, visit marshmma.com. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva. TSD Spotlight is recorded remotely and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure to like, follow, and share.